We're reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, the scheduled incarnations, and chapter 7, text 51. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Idam Bhagavatam Nama. Yanme भगवतो तिरहं संग्रहोयां विभूतीनां त्वं एतद् विपुलीकुरु इदं भगवतं नाम यं मे भगवतो तिथा संग्रहोयां विभूतीनां त्वं एतद् विपुलीकुरु Idam, this, Bhagavatam, the science of Godhead, Nama, of the name, yet that which may, unto me, Bhagavata, by the personality of Godhead, Uditam, enlightened, Sangraha, is an accumulation of I am his vibhutinam of the diverse potencies. Tvam, your good self. Etat, this science of Godhead. Vipuli, expand. Kuru, do it. Translation, 4 point. O Narada, this science of God, Srimad Bhagavatam, was spoken to me in summary by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it was spoken as the accumulation of his diverse potencies. Please expand this science yourself. Purport. The Bhagavatam, in a nutshell, spoken by the Personality of Godhead, in about a half a dozen verses, which will appear ahead, is the science of God, and it is the potent representation of the Personality of Godhead. He, being absolute, is non-different from the science of God. Srimad Bhagavatam Brahmaji received this science of Godhead from the Lord directly, and he handed over the same to Narada, who in his turn, ordered Srila Vyasadeva to expand it. So the transcendental knowledge of the Supreme Lord is not mental speculation by the mundane wranglers, but it is uncontaminated, eternal, perfect knowledge beyond the jurisdiction of material modes. The Bhagavat Purana is therefore the direct incarnation of the Lord in the form of transcendental sound, And once you receive this transcendental knowledge from the bona fide representative of the Lord in the chain of disciplic succession, from the Lord to Brahmaji, from Brahmaji to Narada, from Narada to Vyas, from Vyasdev to Sukadev Goswami, from Sukadev Goswami to Suta Goswami, the ripened fruit of the Vedic tree drops from one hand to another without being broken by falling suddenly from a high branch down to the earth. Therefore, unless one hears the science of Godhead from the bona fide representative of the disciplic succession, as above mentioned, for one to understand the theme of the science of Godhead will be a difficult job. It should never be heard from professional Bhagavatam reciters who earn their livelihood by gratifying the senses of the audience. So this is a really important verse, and Srila Prabhupada stressed the importance of the disciplic succession of the parampara system of receiving knowledge multiple times. From the very first day, he stressed that you must hear from a bona fide source, and we need to hear it again and again, and also learn from our previous acharyas how we can preserve it and give it to the next generation, which is such an important thing. It's actually our duty. I think we're a little fortunate here in the Western world, because I know that I had never heard of the Vedas. I'd never heard of Krishna or anything like that. It was all foreign, very foreign to me. And so I wasn't contaminated by any other interpretations. I didn't have any idea what a Bhagavatam recital was. No clue whatsoever. But somehow or other, Krishna gave us the gift of Srila Prabhupada here in the West to immediately present it as it is. And that purity, purity really was a gift to our hearts, and it immediately changed our hearts. Immediately upon hearing the name Krishna, something happened to all of us. So we're actually quite fortunate that we weren't exposed to all these other interpretations and different philosophies that were quite prevalent and still are prevalent in India. So we should be very thankful for that, because the knowledge was so pure, so purely given, that it would satisfy our spiritual intelligence. Immediately, everything clicked, because it was non-different than Krishna himself, as it's described here. This Bhagavatam is non-different. And when it's presented unbroken, from the unbroken chain, then that can deliver the soul from even ourselves in this Mlecha land. We had some, few pop-up incarnations at that time when I joined in the late 60s, 1970, had some alternative methods of transcendental realization. Usually a little bit pricey. At that time it was like $35, which I didn't have. And then there was the secret mantra, and then there was this and that. But in general, it wasn't too big of a flood of alternative methods. So we were very fortunate that we didn't have to pick from the smorgasbord of so many different so-called spiritual delicacies that now are provided under so many different guises. Srila Prabhupada was unmatched, completely unmatched, as far as delivering the absolute truth. And to this day, it is being received all over the world, and it's changing the hearts of everyone. So we have to have that appreciation for Srila Prabhupada, for Krishna, for sending him in particular. But some say that we're confining ourselves, that we're not willing to listen to other philosophies. We went to college, and the college over here, and one boy came to the temple, and he wanted me to read the Tao, or something called the Tao, I don't know. And he wanted to expound his philosophy, and it was just like, that It's all right. I don't need to hear it, you know. But some people get offensive, you know, that we have this big wall around us, you know, that we just listen to. She would probably just read Prabhupada's books. And it's a good thing. That wall is really thick because that protects us from so many things. So we are being very protected and so-called stuck in the mud. Well, yes, we're stuck at the feet of Srila Prabhupada, and we're very happy there. Don't need to go anywhere else at all. Srila Prabhupada, when we first heard him, he would refer to other different references, different Puranas, different spiritual masters and acharyas, previous acharyas. And for me, it was, you know, I didn't know, have any idea who these people were or anything like that. And when we went to India the first time in 1975, we were going on parikrama down to the Yogapith and then to Bhakti Sananta's ashram. And the Gaudiya Math there was really happy to receive us, and they had all these books out. Tons of books, little pamphlets and books and everything for our pleasure. Just tons of things, you know, that from the acharyas and everything. And the devotees were just taking as many as they could. You know, oh, yes, this, and going home with stacks of them. And Prabhupada heard about it, and he was actually quite upset. And he said that, I'll give permission to, you know, my secretary and those who are doing my, you know, translations to read these books. But he really was very cautious that we didn't get involved in so many other, versions of what he was giving us. Not that they were wrong, but he was just very cautious that we didn't get way ahead of ourselves and get into hearing from so many different faces. So this was like a little light on for us that we have to realize that Srila Prabhupada gave us everything. And he said that. He says, I've given you everything. You don't need to go anywhere else. And it's going to take a lifetime just to read his books and to understand them and to follow them. So although we might be told that we have blinders on, like in horse, you know, you put those little things on their side so they can't, they don't get distracted, so they know that they're going that's their destination. In the same way, we have our blinders on because we want to go just to Krishna, and Prabhupada has arranged that for us. So we should accept it and be proud that we do have that protection from him. Many people, especially in the West, really don't know what the definition of a transcendentalist is. They have different conceptions. Oh, maybe a transcendentalist has the latest yoga mat, and maybe he has that secret mantra, or he goes to bhajans for Durga with a harmonium and kartals, or maybe he's vegan. That's the qualification, you know. So what really is a transcendentalist? Even Arjuna, he asked in the Bhagavad Gita, he said, how does a transcendentalist walk? What does he look like? How does he speak? Right? So it can be very confusing. But Srila Prabhupada was the acharya, the example of a transcendentalist, that beyond any bodily material desire, which is quite an achievement when you think of it. So this is how he earned that name, Bhaktivedanta, that he knew the conclusion of the Vedas, and he lived it. Therefore, he was able to deliver it purely to all of us and let us understand that the absolute truth is Sri Krishna and that we are his eternal servant. It's described in the Vedas that to cross over this ocean of nescience, that we need a good boat, and we need favorable winds, and we need a captain. Even just to get in a sailboat, if someone gave me a really beautiful, maybe 24-foot sailboat, and nice sails and everything, and said, okay, head the, over there to Africa, you know, good luck. Without a captain, no way. Without someone who's experienced with that knowledge, no way. And so in the same way, the captain is essential. The Vedas, the favorable breezes, and the human, this human form of life, being able to and follow instructions and accept the spiritual master, we have that ability to cross over this ocean of birth and death. So this captain is the most important thing. When I was in college, I tried to become a transcendentalist. And I would go up on the top stairs with all the doors of the dormitory slamming and people yelling and screaming, and I was trying to see a white light in between my eyes, and I wasn't getting too far. But luckily I ran into Srila Prabhupada. I don't know how many of you, probably a lot of you in this room, when you were young, maybe 10 years old, I can remember that I had a couple friends and we made a club. Any of you ever had little clubs when you were young? And sometimes you take blood and you put all the blood together and you made a pact and you promised to always stay together and to always do this and that. And how long did it last? A couple weeks, maybe a month, something like that. But anyway, I had it was called the Three Witches. You know, it was, I was a typical kid, you know. And it didn't last very long because someone else wanted to come in and someone, you know. Anyway, the pact didn't last. But for us to take a spiritual master and become initiated, that is a pact that we're making with the whole disciplic succession. We're agreeing for the rest of our lives to be in this very, very important pact of the disciplic succession, the parampara, delivering this message, receiving it perfectly and delivering it perfectly. And it's nothing that will be broken. We have to agree to leave this material world, leave our material conceptions of what, you know, we're supposed to be and do and everything, and actually take up our life engagement of serving the previous acharyas by becoming strong. And we become strong by what strength? Our own? No. By the previous acharyas. That's where we get our strength from. You know, we get so strong that we can refute all these other offers that we have. And many of these other offers have a nice advertisement of discount, you know, or perks, like, oh, maybe three regulations, you don't have to do four, maybe two or three of the rules and regulations. 16 rounds is nice, but, you know, you don't have to, and then there might even be that offer that, oh, you can get initiated right away, we'll give you first and second, and next week you can come by and we'll tell you your swaroop. Good discount, shortcut. You know, it's really, really, you know, kind of like, you know, looks good, so why not go for it? But because we have the strength of Srila Prabhupada, we can understand that he has given us everything, but we have to do what he says to the T. I've been listening to a lot of lectures in 1966 in New York lately, and you can see that Srila Prabhupada was so full of knowledge, and here he is in front of these complete neophytes, and he just wants to tell everything, and he does. He gives some really big spoonfuls of knowledge, I mean, way above everybody's head, but he just can't resist because he knows so much. He's heard so much, imbibed so much from the previous acharyas that he keeps saying, this is such a long story. I can't tell you all of it right now. You know, he has so many stories and so many wonderful things to tell us that he was just, you know, bubbling full of the Vedic nectar, of this nectar. So we could see that he had to be very patient, that he, you know, gave it little by little, and then he actually gave us a prescription that Mangal Arati, you know, read, chant, sankirtan. Gradually he introduced us into this wonderful process that has been passed down and that we're still following to this day. I imagine many of you have had to get a prescription for some antibiotics. And usually it's for, how many days? At least 10 days, or 10, sometimes 14 days. And so you take the pill, and then like in 2 days you're feeling like, I'm well, I'm done, you know, forget that, the rest of those, you know, I don't need to take that stuff. And then you get a relapse, right? Because you don't follow what it says. And so some people come to Krishna consciousness, yeah, this is great, this is wonderful, you know, and then, but I can do this, and still with chant Hare Krishna, I can do this, and then relapse, and you're gone. So it's so important to follow what the disciplic succession has told us. And this action of being so chaste to this, it preserves the parampara for the future generations. And so that means different for different people following the brahmacharis, the sannyas. Their responsibility is to strictly follow all the principles and to be learned in all the scriptures, to preach and to live very simply. For the householder, it's to be very responsible, to be able to deliver your dependents. That little boy that you're holding in your arms right there, you got to deliver him. Or maybe he'll deliver you. Of course, that's our always hope that we have Prahlad, you know, that we have our little Prahlads. But reality isn't always that way. But that's it's also the responsibility of the householders to serve all the others and to invite senior devotees to their homes and to also preach. And then for the vanaprasth, impeccable behavior. Always being the shining lamp, and to be very detached. So these are what the previous acharyas have showed us, how we have to act. And those who are actually qualified, they can actually take on disciples and continue this succession. So this is all glory to those personalities that can do that. I must say it's a very selfless service, and these are all very exalted souls that I bow down to. But undoubtedly, Srila Prabhupada, he said that, of course, of all the processes of devotional service, hearing is the most important, and who we hear from, of course, that is very important. He always said that that little poison, you know, can ruin everything. And so Lord Chaitanya also, he would close his ears and refuse to allow hearing anything of Mayavadi, etc. like that. So we have to be very choice in understanding how we hear and how we take it into our lives. Not just hear it, but actually live it. We should live it such that it's actually going to like save our lives. I don't know if you've ever been in a dangerous situation, but you have to really listen to the person who's going to get you away from this dangerous situation. It could be life threatening. I've had before where you know like maybe something's you're just about to really blow the whole thing, and then someone says, "Now go this way, go that way. Do this, do that, and you'll get out safely." And what do? You perk up your ears and you listen like crazy. You don't want to miss one instruction because that could be the end of you. So here we are in Marchaloka with death all around us. And we're like, you know, have to listen very carefully to the disciplic succession, to this knowledge, if we want to get out of this place for good and for all. We have to be in tip-top shape, have heard and actually taken into our hearts and living these instructions. And then wherever we go, whatever does happen, then we're in a safe place. So we have to take this very seriously. And on our calendar, it's so nice because we get to speak about all the different Vaishnavs, great acharyas and Vaishnavs. Almost every week, we get to hear of one of them, and they become our role models. They become our superheroes, and we pray to follow in their footsteps. We all have our particular ones that we really like to hear and that are dear to our hearts. And then there's some that even are kind of in disguise very surprisingly, they don't seem like they're acharyas, but like that, I think the other day we were discussing Punyarik Vijaniti. They didn't think he was such an acharya, but then it was revealed how dedicated he was to Krishna. And King Pataparudra, you wouldn't think he'd be a great devotee. And then, of course, Kulavrishna Sridhar being so poor and everything. And even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, some people, you see the photo of him in a car with a jacket on and sewn clothing. Some people actually thought that this person, he's not qualified, because look, he's had sewn clothing and he's going, you know, in a car, a vehicle, and going to the big city. But you know, understanding what a great personality he was, simply packaged differently. That's all. But they're all so qualified to deliver the absolute truth because they heard perfectly. And so this packaging is also seen with Srila Prabhupada. Many Brajabasis, they got very upset bringing us, you know, mlechas to the states, having us dress this way and chant Hare Krishna. And some of his practices of having women and men in the same temple were looked down upon. Thinking, oh, you're breaking this secession, this standard. But no, he's just simply changing the way he's presenting it and attracting more of us and actually delivering more of us because he was so qualified to be able to give it in a pure way. So we feel very comfortable surrounded by all these acharyas. We feel comfortable in this wall of just hearing the Vedas from them. And believing in them and being chaste to them. And it's a big duty for us to and responsibility to serve them by delivering to the next generation. We have to be very careful and cautious, because even when Krishna was speaking to Arjuna, saying that, oh, I delivered this message to the sun god millions of years ago, but the succession was broken. Krishna delivered it personally, but it was broken. We were hearing the other day about Advaita Acharya. He was so worried because it was falling apart. It was getting, you know, dismantled in different pieces. It can get to the point where you can't even recognize bhakti and its purity. So it is a concern. I know it's a concern for myself and many of my god sisters and god brothers that it is going to change and not be passed down perfectly. So each generation has to somehow or other give it in the same way. Srila Prabhupada complained, though, that we Westerners have a disease. What is that disease? We always want to change everything, right? And he would get very angry if we did that. Here in the purport is describing because Brahmaji is given to Narada, and he says, please expand this science yourself. So expand doesn't mean add on and change, but it means just to fluff it out and present it, to give it to more. And so this is what we have to understand also, that we have to keep the instructions intact, although we might present it in different ways. And that way it will have that potency. But sometimes little red lights go off. I know even here in this temple, I was in the pujari room the other day and I saw something that just, you know, a little red light went off, and I said, where'd you hear that? You know? And he goes, well, so-and-so does it. And I go, well, Prabhupada never introduced that. And they go, well, it's in a Purana, this Purana, that Purana. And I go, oh no, here we go. And the trouble is that many of us, when we try to give instructions to the next generation, we're considered as you know it all, you Prabhupada disciples, you know it all, and you know, da, 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 da. And then we get fearful to actually present it that way. I mean, I do. I get scared because what are the people, you know, everyone thinks that we're trying to be big Ishwaras, you know, but we're just trying to represent what we know that Srila Prabhupada personally told us, or we personally saw. So I'm begging the next generation to try to receive this knowledge. We have good reason. We want to represent Srila Prabhupada. We want to represent the rest of the Pacific succession. It's said that expect what you inspect. So we might be inspecting, you know, how is this, why are you doing this, you know? But it's for a good cause. And if we don't ask, then it will change. And it will not be pleasing to the Srila Prabhupada. There's a story, I think Prabhupada told the story, I'm not sure, about the importance of delivering what we know is the right thing. And there was, one young person, he lost his parents, and his aunt took him under his wing. But the person started deviating, but the aunt was, I have to be nice to this person, you know, I don't want to tell him that he's doing the wrong thing, and he started cheating and lying, and then he got caught and was put in jail. And he got to the point where he actually did such horrible things that he was going to be put to death. And he said, the authorities said, you know, would you like to say something to anyone before this happens? And he said, yes, I would like to speak to my aunt. And so there was like something in between them. And he says, yes, I want to whisper something into your ear. And he went and bit her ear out of anger because she didn't instruct him and tell him what to do, what not to do, what's good, what's bad. So in the same way, we have to realize that if we don't come forward in a mature way, in a nice way, and try to, you know, deliver this, that it could, you know, be painful in our ears someday. This is a few things that we all can work on. I know that the finger is pointing back to myself. There's some standards that I would love to be able to teach to some of the people that haven't gotten to hear some of the standards. Many people come to this movement and they just don't know what the standard is. So I don't know how that can be done, but now we're going to have a nice ashram back here. Hopefully that will be delivered, I'm sure it will be, by Prana Govinda, of exactly why we do things. And I had one boy come up to me and says, I'm doing all these things, but I don't know why I'm doing them. I said, but just keep doing them. And if you have any questions, please ask. So this is an important subject, and maybe someone else has something else they would like to add or complain or chastise myself. Rigatmika, you had your hand up?
Thank you. Regarding that pastime where Srila Prabhupada told the devotees he was upset about them getting those books from the Gaudiya Math, he actually said then that if they say one word different than what I have presented, you will become confused. And, I had a question about the purport, the last sentence. It should never be heard from the professional Bhagavatam reciters who earn their livelihood by gratifying the senses of the audience.
Yeah, like presenting a rasa dance because they know they want to hear that. Oh, okay. That type of thing.
Yes. Gratify their ears.
Yeah. I mean, Prabhupada gave us a Krishna book, but he just like put the philosophy all in it, right? Mm-hmm. It's a whole different presentation. Not just to gratify our senses, get to hear story time.
Hi, Bo. My questioning is about how much do you have to step towards a newcomer like they have all this attachment, and you want to make them feel that they don't have to give them all up at once, but take the process without putting too much wine in the water. So my difficulty is, how much do you have to step towards these persons? Do compromise to let them feel that they want to take to the process.
People are very sensitive, and we have to be sensitive also to their sensitivity. So Prabhupada, you know, I think one day all of a sudden the devotees woke up and there was that famous little list of the rules and regulations. Up until then he didn't say anything, but all of a sudden there it was, you know. He thought, okay, now it's time. And some liked it, some didn't. But he used his intelligence to see that if I, like there was a person here for the Sunday feast, and he had his legs stretched out. He was the only person who was for the first time. His legs were stretched out, pointing to the deities. I wasn't going to go and say, Pabu, you know, I'm not going to do that the first time someone comes here, you know. Be very tolerant and everything. And then you just have to be sensitive, and those who are sincere, and you can tell them a little more, a little bit more, and be encouraging at the same time. It's an art, and we should learn that art, because it's so important that we don't give too much at one time to somebody, because they can go away. Like Prabhupada said, if I told you everything, you all would have left a long time ago. You know, so it's an art.
Yeah, it's a difficult one.
Yeah, it's a difficult one.
In the beginning of the today's purport, while you are reading, I'm paraphrasing, that the whole Bhagavatam, in a nutshell, I think Prabhupada didn't say four verses, he said about half a dozen. I don't know why he said that about half a dozen.
Half a
dozen. It doesn't matter, but I was just kidding. So my question is that, instead of expanding to 18,000 verses from four verses, if somebody come up with the idea just to distribute these four verses, this is the nutshell form of entire Bhagavatam, will that get complete benefit, or actually require the entire Bhagavatam to be studied?
Well, when Narada approached Vyasadeva, after Vyasadeva had still written so much, and still he thought, you need to do more, right? So in the same way, you know, maybe someone can, you know, understand the Vedas, you know, Vyasadeva's first things, but needed the Bhagavatam. So us, we need not just four verses, we need all we can get, because there's so many explanations. I don't think I would have stuck around if there were just four verses that I, without this nectar, with all these purports. Yeah, if the purports were about 16 volumes, and then maybe. No, Prabhupada knew better. He spent his life and blood giving us these books that we get to hear every day. It's such a privilege to get to hear this, not to.
I just want to add to Mother Ragatmika's point. In 1967, I think that's when Srila Prabhupada was going back to India for the first time. So the movement was very young, and the devotees didn't know so much. So they suggested to Prabhupada that maybe someone else can be invited to come and preside until he gets back. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, that if they only change one word, the whole thing would be spoiled. And also want to share, last year when I was in Santo Domingo, the Sunday program, very small place, temple, and there was one girl came there for the first time, and also there was a devotee, one what we call second generation for them, but the son of a devotee, he and his girlfriend was there, and they were holding hands. So there's one Mataji who came up, and she very politely, you know, she spoke with them and she got them to stop that. That is disrespectful. And she got the girl to move from in front because she had some short clothing on to sit properly. And it was so nice that she presented it and that they were very, very encouraged. So after the class, well, she was the only one, she was my interpreter. So she was explaining to me what, you know, what went on. So, and it was so nice that the way she presented it, so that they were very encouraged, that they weren't discouraged, and they feel, you know, encouraged to do the right thing. So
yeah,
just one example I want to share.
Way to do it and way not to do it.
Hey, since Dhammaraj brought it up, I had this thought, you know, that's a well-known pastime where Prabhupada went to India and the devotees, you know, someone else, and then Prabhupada says, oh, you just, well, you'll get confused or whatever he said. It wasn't recorded. It's an oral history recollection. So the thought always came to me, sure, you know, we don't want to replace Prabhupada, and even if you tried to, I don't think you're going to replace him. You know what I mean? You're going to get something else. But, which is, I'm fine with Prabhupada. But the other thought is like when you have young neophyte devotees, it's like little kids. I mean, I'm dealing with these little kids, and they're living in one home, and they're living in another home. And the first thing they say is, well, my other parents didn't say it this way, and they didn't say it that way. I mean, they're playing off like what they can get away with. You know, it's like, because, so part of it is, the thought comes to me is, you know, we hear these instructions, and if we don't hear them, we, you know, as like little kids, you get confused. You know, and so I guess that's a serious thing, and I'm quite happy with how Prabhupada says things, and I'd prefer to stick to that, but, you know, I just wonder, you know, sometimes the problem could be us, that we just can't see the forest from the trees. Anyways, the thought came to me.
Anyway, yes, Manmati?
Oh, okay. Well, there it goes, and the thought went out the window.
I was appreciating what you were saying, that how, you know, you're listening to the Prabhupada's lectures, 66, and how he was so bubbling, wanting to give this knowledge. I was also thinking that, to me, it seems like that feeling that he had was till the very end, because so many times we read that how here, that Srila Prabhupada was telling his disciples, you know, you take care of this management, and let me just translate. Let me just translate. I think in one purport, maybe Pran Govinda Prabhu would know, but I remember reading some in one of CC purport that Prabhupada was wanting to, expressing to translate this and this and this and the Vedanta Sutra, and he wanted to give so much to us. And so he's like, you take care of this, you know, let me just give. I have so much to give to you.
I would always feel bad when we get those letters that Papa was saying, can't you all just take care of this with me,
yeah,
alone so I can just translate?
Yeah, that bubbling was like all the time. He's like his heart. He wanted to give his heart so much what was in his heart, you know.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Bhagavatam, the other day when we were recalling Prabhupada's Mitrasen Prabhu was talking, and he said, there were five trunks of the Bhagavatam that were shipped from Bombay to Cochin, and they were put on the Jaladutta in Cochin. Okay, when Prabhupada got to America, and this person from the Traveler's Aid met him and put him on a bus to Butler. Where were those five trunks? Does anybody know? I mean, it just occurred to me.
Did they make it to Butler? We don't know.
I don't know.
No.
Yes, of course he had the books, but what happened when he went to Butler and then back? I know. And there was no mention of, it says in the Lilamrita that he had light baggage. The traveler's aide noticed he just had a bag, you know, basically.
I don't know.
Chaitanya Charitamrita, a few places. I'll give you one reference. Adilila chapter 5, 203. In the purport, Prabhupada writes, many important books written by Sanatana Goswami Pad, like Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Dasamitipani. And then second line he writes, anybody who is interested to understand Bhagavan, Bhakti and Bhakta, must read these books of Sanatana Goswami Pad. What does that mean? Now, I mentioned to one devotee, I won't say the name, he's also here. He said, but that's not Prabhupada's book. I'm not going to read it. I said, but Prabhupada said, one must read. What does that mean? He said, I'm not going to read. So I'm asking you and the audience, what is that? I can show you. Prabhupada said must, M-U-S-T.
He said we must read his books every day. That's enough instruction for me. Now, need to expand. You have permission to expand according to this. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada.